much how really strong gravity feels. It just is sucking you into your seat. Everything is heavy.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The state has seen 68 wildfires in just the past week, burning 937 acres and counting. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more on the biggest blaze in the state in Green Lake County.
In the town of Seneca, the Big Island fire has burned an estimated 745 acres. Crews were dispatched to the White River Marsh State Wildlife Area right around 4:30 in the afternoon. This is exactly when the winds were gusting up to 40 miles per hour, helping spread the fire, which is currently being held on the south side of County Road D. Two residents have been evacuated, with six structures threatened. The Wisconsin DNR also says that there have been no injuries and that the fire is under investigation. No DNR or private approved prescribed burn was in the area at the start of the fire.
The Department of Public Instruction has unveiled a site to track federal funding impacts. Joanne Krulantz has more info.
The page provides real-time updates, critical information, and resources related to federal funding for public schools and libraries across Wisconsin. Available tools also include real-time updates on current funding cuts at the federal level and an interactive map to view data specific to your school district. Resources also include personalized flyers that highlight the effects of federal funding for each district. More information is available on DPI's website.
The spring election is just 2 weeks away on Tuesday, April 1st. A photo ID is required in order to cast your ballot. If you don't have an approved photo ID, such as a driver's license or state ID, you can get one at the Wisconsin DMV. Start online at wisconsindmv.gov or call your local DMV during office hours. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
More troubles for the Brewers pitchers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mariners 14-8 in spring training. Brewers starter Tobias Myers is out now with a strained oblique muscle and will likely miss the start of the season. But Pat Murphy says he thinks Abner Uribe could fill that spot. They are also very pleased with the progress Brandon Woodruff is showing coming back from shoulder surgery. NBA, the Bucks begin a five-game road trip out west tonight against the Golden State Warriors, but it will be without center Jericho Sims. He had to have surgery yesterday for a torn ligament in his right thumb. It happened Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims will be out at least a month. The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. Damian Lillard says it's tough to play team offense when opponents get physical.
It's a tough balance. In your mind, you're like, all right, I might have to dominate and try to take over this 4 or 5 minute stretch. And then you don't want to go against, you know, what the team is kind of preaching. So it's definitely a tough balance.
That's Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, the wind picking up, a low in the low 30s. Winter weather advisory for tomorrow, snow, some mixed rain early, and accumulations of 1 to 3 inches, heavier totals to the north and west with a winter storm warning. Gusts above 40 miles an hour with blowing snow. Currently 57 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Poquette.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a former Democrat convicted of bribery, among other things, now turning to help from the president. An update on Gold Bar Bob tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings at 10. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Spring Candidate Spotlight. We are taking the time to talk to some of our local candidates. We keep up the WFHR tradition of 80-plus years of asking every candidate the same questions, giving them equal amount of time, and getting to know them a little bit and letting our audience get to know them some. Right now, we have Betsy Mansell with us, running for Port Edwards Village President. Betsy, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate the time. Glad we could work this out schedule-wise. Betsy, we like to ask everybody this opening question. Can you tell us a little about yourself? What's your origin story?
Sure. So I'm Betsy Mansell. I'm 37. I've been married to my husband, Josh, for the last 14 years. We have four kids total between the two of us, three at home still. Grew up in Rudolph, went to Assumption in Wisconsin Rapids here, and then we moved to Port Edwards about 9 years ago. Once we moved into Port Edwards, we kind of jumped in feet first, and being involved in our community, we wanted to be involved and show our kids how to be involved. My husband started by being on the volunteer fire department, and then I started working with the parent organization at school, and we've just kind of worked our way up from there, trying to do different things and get more involved and get to know more people. Right now, I work as a health aide over at the Port Edwards School District, going between both buildings. I'm a casual position LPN at Edgewater Haven as well. And then I am now on the fire department as a first responder. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit about me and how we are at home.
Mm-hmm. Betsy, what made you decide to run for office?
So I first ran for trustee, 2019, current board member said, hey, I think you have some good ideas. Why don't you try running and see where this goes? We need some new, fresh ideas on the board. So I did that. And then I ended up getting that spot then. And I just keep rerunning. And I just really love learning about the community and trying to be involved. And the more I've learned about local government, the more I've really like, hey, I really like this. And I think more people should do it as well. But it can be a hard job. So that's why I first initially ran, again, just to be involved, try to be a voice at the table for maybe some people who haven't lived in Port Edwards their whole life. Just because you haven't lived in Port Edwards doesn't mean you don't have a voice at the table and that you're not important, right? So I kind of wanted to break that stereotype type thinking. So that's one reason why I got involved, and just that's why I keep doing this, right? Mm-hmm. And I love our community, and I want to keep doing the best that I can for it.
And Betsy, I feel like this is not only a great opportunity for our audience to get to know you candidates, as well as the job that you are running for. Oftentimes when I ask people, you know, what this position does, they're not always certain of what everything that entails. So can you tell us a little bit about what it is to be a village president?
Sure. So village president is not like being a mayor. It's different. A lot of people think that the village president has like executive authority like a mayor does, and you really are just another board member. You have a different job title, though, right? You have to kind of create the committees. You can kind of decide who you would want on the different committees and mix that up a little bit. But at the end of the day, the board still has to vote on those. So I don't get to say, here you are, take it or leave it. Like there's a team mentality that's behind it, and you're just kind of the team captain, so to speak. Mm. So I try to explain it that way more than any kind of executive power.
What qualifies you, Betsy? What do you feel in your background would make you a very good village president?
So I've been the village president for the last 2 years. I was on the board previously, like I said, from 2019. When it comes to what qualifies anybody for being in any elected position is the want and the willingness to be able to do the work, right? Showing up to work. This isn't a 9-to-5 job. You have to squeeze this in between your other jobs and your family roles, so to speak. So you have to be able to separate. You have to be able to separate time for this and make sure that it's a priority for you. And it's more than just showing up to meetings. It's doing the research outside of the meetings, networking with other individuals, that kind of thing. I also have leadership qualities of communicating well with others, making sure that everybody understands my thought process. If they have questions, they can always come to me. Another leadership quality I think I have, and what I've been told I have, is that I'm approachable and people can come and talk to me whenever they want. Residents, board members. So there's a lot of different things that leadership, I think, what you need to have for leadership. And I know that's different for everybody, right? And a lot of it is separating your personal beliefs from what's best for the village. Like, what's different for... That's how I do it. This may not be, like, great for Betsy Mansell, but it's great for the entire village, or better for the village. Mm-hmm. And you have to take that into consideration.
You mentioned a little of this. How do you feel your previous jobs, even your current jobs, prepare you to be good at this job?
Well, working in the healthcare field, right, you really have to set your opinions and beliefs about certain people aside, and you really have to work with them, right? Being an LPN, it's patient focused. So it's not what you think, it's what somebody else, how the patient wants to be treated. So I kind of take that into consideration when I'm working with residents and working for them. And I think, again, working in healthcare, it's that team mentality that you have to work as a team for the best interest of the patient. And it's the same thing for the village, I think.
Betsy, how would you effectively communicate important town information to residents, ensuring transparency and accessibility?
Yep. So there's obviously open records laws that we have to follow. You have to do things a certain way when you're in politics. But how I have advocated for transparency and getting information out there to our residents is, when I first got on the board, I said, "Hey, Port Edwards doesn't have a Facebook page," and that's how, you know, even in 2019, that's how the world's kind of working. Is to get anything out there, you have to really get on social media. So I advocated for, and the board approved, to start a social media page. I don't run it. Our staff does, but that's how we can get agendas out there, meeting minutes, important information that residents need to know. That's a good way to get it out there. As a village president right now, I do have my own Facebook page. I try to not overdo it, right? But at least, hey, this is what's happening. This is what's coming on next week's agenda. What I've started last month and this month, and what I would like to continue to do if again reelected, is to do a monthly snapshot. So after the monthly meeting, hey, this is what happened this month during the meeting. This is the decisions that were made, and here's the video link for our meetings too. Again, just for transparency piece, getting the word out to people, because a lot of people don't want to sit and watch an hour-long meeting. And I get, families are busy. So going to meetings or even watching an hour-long, it can be hard. So trying to just do snapshots of it, and then, you know, you can still watch the video if you want. And or if something intrigues you, like, oh, maybe I do want to watch this one. So those are the things that I've tried to advocate for to try to get out. And then another thing, too, is just talking with residents is a big thing. Walking around when we've been doing the door knocking, walking around, talking with them if they have questions, and answering the hard questions as well.
And Betsy, we're speaking with Betsy Mansell, who is Port Edwards Village President, running for re-election. When it comes to the biggest issues in the area for your fellow residents, what do you feel those are?
The big one in, well, there's a couple big ones in Port Edwards, but the big one is always taxes. Taxes are always a little bit higher in Port Edwards, and we all know that. So making sure that, again, we're doing what we can do to best serve the village by using the tax dollars appropriately, making sure that we're advocating on the use appropriately. Again, that was a little redundant, sorry. But so that, and then the other one is the DMI, the old mill property. That's that's a big one, and we're in the process of trying to figure out how to either work with or not work with DMI and how those next steps go. So I created an ad hoc committee that is just focused on DMI property. DMI hasn't really been working well with us. We thought that they were going to. They were going to apply for a new demo permit, and they haven't done that. So now we have to really, the ball's back into our court saying, okay, we have to do something with it, because it is not only is it an eyesore, it's a hazard, but that's a lot of opportunity for us to be able to build economic development growth. That's really the only place we can grow is if we take care of that. And then that, of course, brings in more funding to the village.
And my final question, Betsy, you kind of answered it with that one. Nice job. what you would do to kind of fix those problems or work out with those problems. So thank you for that. Yeah. Do you have any final statements?
No, just make sure that you're an educated voter. Make sure that you're really understanding what's at stake here. There's two candidates, and we don't obviously agree on things, which is the beauty of democracy, right? Just make sure that you're educated and you're asking questions. And I'm more than happy to meet with individuals. We do have a debate tonight at 7 o'clock, if anybody is interested in coming to that. That will be recorded and put on YouTube at a later date. So again, if you're not able to make it in person, you can always watch it on YouTube.
And do encourage you to check it out in person. I believe this interview will be airing on Monday. So check it out on YouTube, everybody. And be sure to keep it up to date and be an informed voter. Be educated.
Educated voter, informed voter, and an active resident. I mean, it'd be great to see more people coming to our meetings and being involved in the process.
And on that point, Betsy, thank you for what you have done in doing that. We greatly appreciate you and all these candidates taking time out of your lives to put back into our community. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
And encourage you to find out more and make sure that you are up to date on everything voting. MyVote.wi.gov. MyVote.wi.gov. Go there. Make sure that you are registered and all ready to go when Election Day gets here. We will have more of our candidate interviews coming up here at WFHR.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Is your water heater making that noise again? You know, the way it groans and creaks when it warms up. If your water heater is older than Stonehenge, you're in luck. You can enter Tri-City Service's oldest water heater contest for a chance to win a new water heater. It's easy to enter. Just go to calltricity.com. That's calltricity.com and fill out the form. The oldest one in the area wins. Anyone who enters will get $280 off a new water heater. You heard that right. That's $280 off a new water heater. Hurry! Contest ends March 31st, 2025. Again, to enter, go to calltricity.com and fill out the form. Update that prehistoric water heater for a new water heater with Tri-City Services. They're not comfortable until you are.
Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's 2025 Spring Candidate Spotlight. This is where we are taking our time to interview each of our local candidates and give them the same questions, same amount of time to each candidate. And there will be no follow-up questions, so that there will be the same questions for each candidate. And just a chance for you guys to get to know them a little bit better and for us to say a thank you to them for running. We appreciate so many of our locals running for local offices. And in with us today, we've got another familiar candidate here who we have Jamie Sparks. With us, running for Wisconsin Rapids School Board. Jamie, thanks for being here.
Yeah, good morning. Nice being here.
Appreciate you, Jamie. And wanted to get to this right away, and our opening question is one that you have kind of answered before on our shows. But tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a 2013 graduate of Lincoln High School, born and raised here in Wisconsin Rapids, 2015 graduate of Mississippi Technical College. So a lot of stuff, a lot of busy life in the Sparks household in my so-called free time. I coach high school football and high school basketball over there at Lincoln, and I got a beautiful wife of going on 6 years now and three young children. So just wanting to get back to the community, and school board's always been a topic for me to get into, something that I've always wanted to get into. And, you know, this year I was looking at, you know, kind of, do I run this year, do I not run this year? And this year it seemed to be the year for me, so I feel very confident.
When it comes to that, why did you decide to run this year in particular?
Well, I think it's, for me, it's just, you know, the timing. I got kids now in the school district. My oldest has just started 4K, and, you know, there's issues that every school district needs to address, and there's, you know, some things that kind of hit a little more home with me, some issues that I would like to see, you know, kind of addressed and moving forward. But I think overall WRPS does a great job. But yeah, I think this is the year that I decided to run.
Jamie, what do you feel qualifies you? What in your background leads you to believe that you'd be an effective school board member?
Yeah, so for me, and I guess anybody that knows me or knows my family knows that we never say no. My mom and dad taught me at a young age, you never say no to anybody. So for me, it's just helping out and getting voices heard from people. And for me, you know, I sat on multiple boards before. I have actually sat on some county boards. Most recently, well, going on 6 years now, 7 years now, but Farm Technology Days, I sat on, when it was up in Marshfield, sat on the board there because I have an agricultural background, what I went to school for. And then most recently, I sit on the board for the Wisconsin Rapids Red Hawks. So a lot of that has taught me budget, you know, time management, stuff like that, and, you know, kind of making those tough decisions when those decisions need to be made.
You touched on this a little bit right there, but how do you feel your previous job experience, previous board experience, has prepared you for doing this job?
Yeah, so I think it kind of goes down to, you know, budgets, tough answers to call, you know, parent communication, kind of all that ties into being the board that everyone kind of seems to focus on, that seems to need answers from. So for me, I'm no stranger to being on a board and serving the community.
And what do you see as the board's roles and responsibilities?
Yeah, so for me, and this is kind of one of the big things I'm running for, is just open and honest communication. The Wisconsin Rapids School District has to get better at that a little bit. And I think, you know, you just even scrolling on social media or just talking to people, I've had great communications with people. But what we need to get to is just open and honest communication. And I believe that will solve some of the problems that we have on the, you know, behaviorals and schools, behavioral and that. As long as everyone's on the same page, I truly believe that is the root. We have to find the root cause to the problem of all like the bullying and all that kind of stuff going on in schools. And, you know, if parents, board members, and teachers and administrative all on the same page when it comes to that stuff, I think we could do great things for Wisconsin Rapids.
How would you describe an effective board member, an effective school board member?
Yeah, I think it just open and just wanting to kind of I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but you know, just open, honest communication. I know there's some policies in place right now where you know, you kind of have to go through the channels. So if anybody had an issue with, you know, issue with the school district, you know, I would have to show them the different channels to go through. But for me, I want to help people. I'm a helping kind of person. I have a big heart. So for me, I want to see it change where, you know, people have concerns. We can, you know, bring it up to me and we can address it as a board meeting with the superintendent, with anybody who we need to address it with. Some of these policies, and that policy has been in place since 1978. So I think, you know, we're about due to see some policy changes, and I know the board is going through right now policy changes as well right now.
And Jamie, how would you how do you plan to involve residents in the decision making process in town and keep them involved in that?
Yeah, so I think it goes down to just parent engagement too. I'm a firm believer that, you know, parents have opportunities to speak at school board meetings, and, you know, to get as many people out to those as possible. I know it's a very important thing, and I think, you know, most residents do a great job at that. But I also think too that you know, holding even a town hall meeting or, you know, listening session where I listen, you know, you come. I listen to you, and, you know, we can help solve some of the problems that go on in the district. But I also want to say too, I know we're talking about a lot of the problem, but Wisconsin Rapids School District does do a lot of great things too as well. So I don't want to say that they're not doing anything. There's a lot of great things happening in the Wisconsin Rapids school district right now.
We're speaking with Jamie Sparks, running for Wisconsin Rapids School Board. And Jamie, to touch on the other side of it, what do you feel are some of the biggest issues going on right now with our school board can affect?
Yeah, some of the big issues, you know, obviously bullying in school is one thing. I would also say, just talking to parents too, is communication between administrative staff and school board. Administrative staff and parents, there's a huge disconnect right now between that. I know I've touched it kind of in my other answers here too, but I think that's just the biggest root cause for a lot of things going on. And if we can change that, I truly firmly believe we can change a lot of the issues in Rapids. But I would say, you know, first the bullying, and versus bullying, parent communication, and just definitely just looking at, you know, how can we support teachers and get higher test scores too. I just actually pulled some stuff off of DPI the other day, and our test scores have in the last 5 years have drastically gone down. And that information you can find at the DPI website. And so how can we help teachers be successful in the classroom? How can we help our students? First and foremost, how can we help our students? And I firmly believe that we have the tools to do that.
If elected, how would you plan to do that?
Yeah, so for me, it's going back to the roots, root cause of some of that, getting the teachers involved, because they're the ones teaching these kids a lot of this, a lot of the material. So for me, it would be going into the schools and talking to these teachers and how, as a school board member, how can I help you be successful? And there's a lot of teachers that are willing to speak up. I've actually spoken to a lot of teachers in the district, and some of them are a little bit more afraid to speak up than others, but a lot of them have really good ideas, and they're great people. These teachers are, I mean, that's a job that it's a thankless job sometimes. And I got a lot of friends that are teachers, and you know, just getting their side of things and their perspective, and how can I help you teach these kids better and give them the resources that they truly need.
Jamie, really appreciate the time and you being able to make time out of your schedule to hang out with us today and answer these questions. As we're wrapping up, do you have any final statements?
Yeah, I would just like to say, you know, Rapids has always been home for me. I truly would be honored and blessed to serve the community of Wisconsin Rapids on the school board. And it's not, you know, some of the things are not going to be an overnight fix, but, you know, we would definitely trend in the right direction. I would fight for everybody in the school district, parents, kids, teachers. You know, everybody has a voice, and it just needs to be heard.
Jamie, if people had follow-up questions or would like to reach out to you in any way, is there a way to do that?
Yeah, so I have a Facebook page. It's Jamie Sparks for School Board, and my last name is spelled S-P-A-R-K-E-S. For some people who it always gets people the ES at the end of my name. So and that's always on Facebook too, and I run the page myself, so I will quickly respond to you as much as possible. So yeah.
We appreciate the time, Jamie, not only putting up with my questions, but it's certainly the time that you've put into local boards, into our local community. We're certainly here to encourage more and more individuals to do that. So thank you for the time, and thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
And we want to encourage you to be ready to vote by going to myvote.wi.gov. Make sure that you are registered and set and all ready to go when the election comes around. And we'll have more of these interviews for you right here at WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
The spring election for 2025 is on Tuesday, April 1st. Polls are open across the state of Wisconsin from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. If you're in line by 8 p.m., you will be able to vote. You can check your registration at myvote.wi.gov. You'll need to enter your first and last name and your birth date. If you're not registered, you can do so by visiting your municipal clerk's office. That information will be listed at the bottom of the Register to Vote screen. You can also register on voting day with an election registration official at your voting location. You'll need to bring a current and valid photo ID and a proof of residence document. The document could be a real estate tax bill for the current or previous year, a recent utility bill, such as a water, electric, or gas bill statement, or a bank or credit card statement, for example. These documents must include the voter's name and current residential address. If your Wisconsin driver's license or Wisconsin state ID card is current and valid and contains your current name and address, it will qualify as both your photo ID and proof of residence. You can view the complete list of accepted proof of residence documents at myvote.wi.gov. If you want to know which races will be on your ballot and who is running, you can check by visiting myvote.wi.gov and clicking on What's on My Ballot. You'll enter your street address, city, and zip code. There are two statewide races and a Wisconsin referendum that will show up on every ballot. These are the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Candidates are Brittany Kinzer and Jill Underley. The second statewide race is for Justice of the Supreme Court. Candidates are Brad Schimmel and Susan Crawford. The referendum is a question requiring that voters present valid photographic identification verifying their identity in order to vote. A photo ID is already a requirement in the state of Wisconsin to cast a vote. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is joining a multi-state lawsuit to prevent the U.S. Education Department from being shut down. Here's Joanne Krulotz.
Democrat Call, along with 20 other attorneys general, are asking a federal judge to prevent President Trump and billionaire Elon Musk from shuttering the agency. Trump announced Tuesday that he would be firing 50% of the department, accusing its workers of not coming to the job. AG Call says the lives and education of students should be preserved over tax breaks for billionaires. The AGs argue that Trump's order overrides Congress's control on the education department's budget.
The man who claimed the TikTok ban, supported by a Wisconsin congressman, as the reason for setting fire to that congressman's office, appeared in court this week. Lisa Hale has details.
A psychiatric evaluation has been ordered for 19-year-old Caden Stakowitz of Menasha after he pleaded not guilty and not guilty because of mental disease or defect Monday on charges that he set fire to U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman's Fond du Lac office in January. If Stakowitz goes to trial with the not guilty because of mental disease plea, the jury would first determine if he's guilty. And then if he is, a second phase of the trial would determine if he suffers from mental disease. Stakowitz's next appearance in court will be a status conference May 12th.
Fire danger is still high today. Fires in Richfield and Princeton burned a total of 10 acres yesterday, as well as south in Westfield and Caledonia. Fires were started from debris burning and spreading fast, charring multiple acres each. High grass and dead vegetation paired with gusty dry winds can cause fire to spread rapidly. Burning permits are still suspended across most of the state today. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The late Gene Hackman did not mention his three children in his will, but they might still end up with some of his $80 million worth of assets. Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, passed away in late February under mysterious circumstances. Late last week, it was disclosed that Arakawa passed away from the hantavirus a week before her Oscar-winning husband. Authorities say Hackman suffered from Alzheimer's disease and couldn't take care of himself after his wife died, and as a result, passed away a week later. In Betsy's will, it was stated that she left her estate to various charities. Hackman, however, named Betsy as the recipient of his assets, essentially leaving his three now middle-aged children out in the cold, or so it would seem. As it turns out, due to Betsy's death, Hackman has no secondary beneficiaries, so it looks like his kids will be the recipient of their father's $80 million fortune after all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlife with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, the wind picking up, a low in the low 30s. Winter weather advisory for tomorrow, snow, some mixed rain early, and accumulations of 1 to 3 inches. Heavier totals to the north and west with a winter storm warning. Gusts above 40 miles an hour with blowing snow. Currently 57 degrees.
The madness.
Blackwell inside and he sends it down with the right hand.
Starts.
Tanjay with bad intentions.
Now.
Long three left side. Book it.
It's the NCAA tournament. Join us Thursday live from Denver, Colorado. It's Wisconsin and Montana. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Wisconsin basketball.
To the rim. Slam dunk. Connor Gilmore.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's 2025 Spring Candidate Spotlight. We are taking the time to ask a lot of our local candidates the same questions with the same amount of time and get you a little more informed about our great candidates coming up. Do want to encourage everybody to bookmark and go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. Make sure that you are registered and you're ready for the upcoming election. We have with us right now Kathy McGrath. Kathy is running for Port Edward School Board. Kathy, thank you very much for being here. If you can pull that mic right next to you there. Thank you, Kathy. Good. Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time. Kathy, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm seeking re-election to the Port Edward School Board. This would be my third term. My husband and I have lived in Port Edwards for more than 50 years. We moved there, not knowing even where Port Edwards was originally, to begin our teaching careers, and we both spent our entire career teaching in Port Edwards. So I taught 34 years, teaching third grade, first grade, and mostly kindergarten, where I taught for 31 years. After that, I did substitute teaching, and when I first was elected to the school board in 2019, I had to give up my subbing. So then I began just volunteering in the district. And I volunteer in first grade as a reading mentor through the United Way. I've done that for 9 years. And I also started a preschool story time at the Ed Hoyer Elementary School, which I do on a weekly basis.
Kathy, why did you originally and continue to run for school board?
Well, it was never my plan, but I was approached by a fellow board member back in 2019 when I first ran, and they said they needed someone to run, and they thought I'd be good at it, and I said, me? And so I ran, and I was elected, and just found that it was a good experience for me because I was now on the other side of the fence after teaching there for 34 years. And I knew a lot about the district already, so it's been good.
Kathy, what qualifies you? What in your background leads you to believe that you would be continue to be an effective school board member?
Well, I've always loved children, and of course, teaching was my passion. And I just want to make sure that our school district is the best that it can be, that we offer the best to all of our students, and that we make it a good place for all of our staff to work.
You mentioned some of your previous experience. How do you believe that your previous jobs have prepared you for this?
Well, throughout college, I did volunteering. I worked at a YMCA one summer as a summertime job, teaching, of all things, gymnastics, which I'm not a gymnast at all, but I could do it with preschoolers. And I just have had a lot of experience. My mother was a teacher. I have a sister that's a teacher. Both of our daughters ended up being teachers. And so I have a lot of education in my growing up years and my background.
What do you see as the board's roles and responsibilities?
Again, I think it's making the school district the best that it can be. We have dealt with a lot of issues in Port Edwards. We've done two school referendum and passed some really important ones. Both of them passed when we had them on the ballot. And that has allowed our district to make needed updates to our buildings. Our buildings are in beautiful shape. The elementary school was built just like 2 years before I started teaching there. And so it's been there for over 50 years. And the high school is very old, but very beautiful. And we have really kept it up to date with needed updates and keeping it in good shape.
Kathy, we're speaking with Kathy McGrath, running for Port Edwards School Board as part of WFHR's 2025 Spring Candidate Spotlight. Kathy, how would you describe an effective board member?
Well, I think a board member needs to have a finger on the pulse and, you know, needs to know the people that live in the district, and it's not just the village, it's the outlying areas that we also have. And also be in touch with things that are going on. So as a retired person, I'm not in the school building every day, but the two things that I do there, volunteering, my preschool story time and my volunteering in first grade, give me a very good reason to be in the school, at the elementary school, at least twice a week. I try to go to things at the high school, band concerts, choir concerts, plays, lots of other things that keep me involved.
Kathy, what are your passions? What would you like to focus on if reelected?
Again, I think it's just making the Port Edward School District the very best that it can be. That's a tough job because there's a lot of competition in schools. There's competition to get the best staff that we can get, but we can't offer everything because we are not huge. But I think the things that we do offer are really well done, and it seems like the staff we get are ones that stay with us.
Just a couple of quick questions for you to wrap up, Kathy. With all of that being said, what do you feel are some of the biggest, if not the biggest, challenges facing the school board?
Again, it's hiring staff and keeping them. Mm-hmm. Many of our staff have been there for many years, and it seems like we have a lot of our staff that are actually graduates of John Edwards High School, and they want to come back and be with us. In fact, many of them are my kindergartners from years ago. And I just love seeing that when I go in and see a kindergarten student that I had now teaching. In fact, two of them are actually teaching in the kindergarten room right now.
That's great. Kathy, thank you so much for the time. Any final statements?
No, I just, I'm community active. I'm a member of the Port Edwards Methodist Church. I belong to League of Women Voters. I am a docent at the Alexander House in Port Edwards. I'm in Delta Kappa Gamma and a member of the Wisconsin Rapids Area Retired Educators Association. So I do a lot of volunteering and try to keep active in the community.
And we appreciate that. And we appreciate you, Kathy. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to hang out with us and answer some questions and certainly running for the board. We appreciate that and the work you've done. Thank you for the time. And people have follow-up questions or they'd like to get to know you a little bit more or just reach out to you, how can they do that?
Sure. They can call me. My phone number is 715-887-3448. Most people know where I live, so they can contact me anyway.
Appreciate that and appreciate you. Thank you again, Kathy. And again, want to encourage you all to go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. Make sure that you are registered and you're all set and ready to go for the upcoming election. We'll have more Spotlight candidate interviews coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Up North News creator and editor Christina Laurie. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins the show to discuss the NCAA tournament. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's 2025 Spring Candidate Spotlight. This is where we are taking some time for you, the audience, to get to know our candidates a little bit better. We appreciate the time and them joining us. I want to encourage you to go to myvote.wi.gov. Make sure that you are registered and you're all ready to go for April 1st and the election coming up. We have in with us right now Daniel Minter, Town of Rome Board Supervisor candidate. Daniel, thank you for being here. Appreciate Please. The time.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the listeners today.
Daniel, if we could, I'd like to start off letting people to get to know you a little bit more. Tell us a little about yourself.
Sure. So I moved to the town of Rome in 2018 when I became president of Assumption Catholic Schools here in Wisconsin Rapids. And I live there with my wife, Julie, and one of my daughters, one of my adult daughters, and we have two dogs. And so I've lived here in the town of Rome for 7 years. Prior to moving to Rome, back in the early 2000s, I had served on the Marathon County Board and sort of have a family history of town politics. My mom was a town supervisor back in the 1980s up in Cronenwetter. And I enjoy living in the area. It's a great area to live in.
Daniel, why did you decide to run for office?
Well, you know, I sort of, you know, talked about my mom was a town supervisor back when I was growing up, so around 1980 in the village. Well, now it's the village of Kronewitter. Back then it was the town of Kronewitter. And so I sort of had that experience as a teenager growing up with town politics. I think it's important, if you're able to be able to give something back to your community, and being on the board of supervisors for the town of Rome is a way for me to help craft things that are going to serve all of us that live in Rome well.
I feel that this is a chance for us to inform our audience about our candidates as well as the job that they are running for. With that, can you describe what a board supervisor does?
Sure. So the town board, because in Rome, there's four supervisors and the town chair. So the town board is responsible for making policy, approving policy. Primarily, the big thing is the budget every year, budget and taxes, because those two things go hand in hand. You know, we don't necessarily get into the micromanaging of the day-to-day operations of the town. That's what we have our professional staff for, the town administrator, the police chief, fire chief, so on and so forth. But it's a way to look at how things that are going on, whether it be things that we're doing or things that the state does, sometimes the federal government, that affects what happens to our residents and our taxpayers.
Daniel, what qualifies you? What in your background makes you believe that you would be an effective chairperson?
Well, I'm not really
a supervisor.
Yeah, supervisor. An effective supervisor, you know, it's very similar to what I do now in my professional role at school, as far as, you know, reviewing budgets, helping create budgets. You know, I like to look at all sides of an issue. I think what makes me hopefully effective is I can set my own personal opinions aside. You know, I might not be in favor of one item or another, you know, one way or another, but it's not my opinion that matters. What matters is what is best for the residents and taxpayers of the town. And sometimes those are things that I will agree with. Sometimes I won't agree with them. But in the end, if it's what's best for the town, that's the way that we have to go. You know, and it's a moving puzzle piece. There's so many different moving parts to all aspects of town government. That you don't really realize until you're in there that, you know, you do one thing, well, it's like throwing a, you know, throw a rock in a pond. You get the ripples that go out from there. And you can't just do one thing and not have it affect five other things or more down the line. So I think, you know, that ability to be able to put my personal opinions aside, I like to listen to what people have to say, you know, and hear their opinions, be that sounding board, and I think that's what helps make me effective.
You touched on this a little bit in your answers, but do you feel previous jobs you've done have given you experiences to be good at this?
Well, obviously the most direct one that led me, you know, to this decision here, let's see, 2021 was when I first ran for a town board. Was, like I'd mentioned, you know, in early 2000s, I served three terms on the Marathon County Board of Supervisors as a representative there. And that obviously helped prepare me quite a bit because the role of a county supervisor is very similar to the role of a town supervisor, just bigger, more constituents. Mm-hmm. Well, probably less constituents, but a bigger impact area because you're talking countywide versus town-wise. So that's probably been the one thing that's led me to that. You know, the other is in my school position, you know, working with the budget. We have to put together a budget every year and it pretty much has to balance just like the town budget has to balance. So, you know, working with numbers that are in, you know, the millions of dollars, you mm-hmm. know, it's not something that everybody, you know, has, you know, desire or experience to do. And thankfully, we have a good staff, too. They do a good job of putting things together. But I'd say that budget experience and then just that desire to give back.
How would you effectively communicate important town information to residents, ensuring transparency and accessibility?
That is probably the, maybe not the number one, but it's right up there in the list of top concerns. Because it is, you know, it is hard. You know, how do you communicate? You know, in this, you know, in year 2025, obviously we have the website. We have our Facebook page. They send out emails with announcements. But it's really hard to know for sure. You know, you could spend all day long posting things on Facebook or the webpage and have a dedicated person to do it. That'd be great. But that's not practical. So all you can do is put the information out there and then let the people know where can you go to find the accurate information about what's going on. Because with social media nowadays, it's like a big game of telephone. What started off at one end of the message might not be what comes out the other end of the pathway. And so by knowing that, they can come to the town website and find that information. You know, that's one. The other issue that we have, particularly in an area like Rome, you know, over half of the properties in Rome are owned by people who do not live in Rome full time. Mm-hmm. They live other places. They have a vacation home up here. So, you know, pretty much email and website is about the best way to communicate with them. Because they're not just going to be able to walk into the town hall and find something out unless they happen to be in town that week, or they can't come to the meetings. You know, so we do broadcast the meetings. They're recorded. They're put on the YouTube channel so that if people want to watch the town board meetings, they can, or find out after the fact what went on. So yeah, it's a tricky one, but it's important because otherwise, then you get people up in arms about something that maybe they didn't need to be up in arms about because they reacted to the first thing they saw. But it's like, okay, but that was the first piece. Now we, as the town board, have a chance to review and listen to people and hopefully make a good decision.
You mentioned some of these already. What do you feel are some of the other, if there are any other issues for you and your fellow residents?
Well, big one is always budget. What do we spend the money on? You know, we only have a certain amount of dollars that we're able to spend and extra new money every year. Well, by the time you get, you know, staff wage increases and then the ambulance goes up and, you know, and so, you know, and gas gets more expensive. You know, there's not a lot that, you know, it's like, well, I'll use an example. In Rome, the transfer station for garbage and recycling. There were some issues that were pointed out to us last fall that were safety issues that we had to address because we couldn't keep doing what we were doing. So then it's like, well, okay, how can we address them? Well, three or four ideas were tossed out there. In the end, what we decided was we're going to keep the transfer station open. We're going to hire another employee. Well, when you hire another employee that you didn't already have on board, well, that's X numbers of tens of thousands of dollars. Okay, now where do we get that $40,000, $50,000 from? So we had to put in a fee for the stickers to get into the transfer station that could prove that, hey, yeah, you live here, you're a resident here, you're a taxpayer here, you can bring your garbage and recycling here. You know, sorry, if you don't live in the town of Rome, please don't bring your garbage to us because we don't want to pay to take away your garbage. And that wasn't popular, but in the end, there's sometimes no other way to do it. It's like, if you want to have the service, we have to pay for the service.
Daniel, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate you joining us today. Do you have any final statements?
My only real final statement is obviously I would appreciate your vote. You could vote for two of the four candidates that are running for supervisor, and then there's two candidates running for chair, and you can vote for the one person running for chair. But whoever you vote for, whether it be me or any of the other three supervisors, come out and vote. Early voting opened today. I was at the town hall at 8:01 a.m. this morning and was probably one of the first people to cast an absentee in-person ballot. I encourage you, you mentioned it at the start of the segment, go to the myvotewi.gov, find out the information. Not only are there the town elections that are going on, but there's also a couple of statewide races superintendent of public instruction and the Supreme Court as well. So come out and vote.
And Daniel, if people want to reach out to you, how can they do that?
Easiest way is my email for the town of Rome, which is minter@romewi.gov.
Appreciate the time. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll have more candidate interviews coming up at WFHR.
The spring election for 2025 is on Tuesday, April 1st. Polls are open across the state of Wisconsin from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. If you're in line by 8 p.m., you will be able to vote. You can check your registration at myvote.wi.gov. You'll need to enter your first and last name and your birth date. If you're not registered, you can do so by visiting your municipal clerk's office. That information will be listed at the bottom of the Register to Vote screen. You can also register on voting day with an election registration official at your voting location. You'll need to bring a current and valid photo ID and a proof of residence document. The document could be a real estate tax bill for the current or previous year, a recent utility bill, such as a water, electric, or gas bill statement, or a bank or credit card statement, for example. These documents must include the voter's name and current residential address. If your Wisconsin driver's license or Wisconsin state ID card is current and valid and contains your current name and address, it will qualify as both your photo ID and proof of residence. You can view the complete list of accepted proof of residence documents at myvote.wi.gov. If you want to know which races will be on your ballot and who is running, you can check by visiting myvote.wi.gov and clicking on What's on My Ballot. You'll enter your street address, city, and zip code. There are two statewide races and a Wisconsin referendum that will show up on every ballot. These are the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Candidates are Brittany Kinzer and Jill Underley. The second statewide race is for Justice of the Supreme Court. Candidates are Brad Schimmel and Susan Crawford. The referendum is a question requiring that voters present valid photographic identification verifying their identity in order to vote. A photo ID is already a requirement in the state of Wisconsin to cast a vote.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion, but don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions, which, by the way, what is squad about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squad about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squad about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who was hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look, at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. Had, I know. You know, I mean, it's just all over the world. I mean,
you have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
Well, I mean, we have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report.
And splashdown. Crew 9 back on Earth.
After an unexpected 9-month stay in space, astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams splashed down off the Florida coast. Astronaut Tom Marchburn.
The seats are well designed. They're custom made for or custom fit for each crew member. And so what they felt when they were going about 20 miles an hour when they hit the water, what they felt was just a pretty strong impact, but it's over very quickly.
CBS's Christian Benavidez.
Last June, they blasted off aboard Boeing's Starliner for an 8-day research trip, but propulsion issues and gas leaks on the spacecraft compelled their extended stay.
At an elementary school named after Sonny in Needham, Massachusetts, the principal, Kiana Brunson.
We love Sonny here. She is our local Shiro. We're glad that she had this wonderful experience, but happy that she's making it back home safely as well.
The pair traveled 120 million miles. CBS News Special Report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s